Tape recorded message number 451. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. In our last study, the last portion that we covered was the 13th chapter. Both the 12th and the 13th chapter was just a great number of names, names hard to pronounce and cannot be remembered, hard to remember. We do not find much by the way of doctrinal teaching in these chapters. Now, I have made the decision in coming to the 14th chapter that I will not deal with every portion from here on. When I come to a list of names such as we will find in the 15th chapter, if you would just glance at the last part of the 15th chapter, you would find that it is one long list of names, and I do not believe that there's any value to us in just simply going over and pronouncing these names. You have them before you in your Bible. If they're of any interest or benefit to you, I have them in my Bible, and will not try to put them on this tape unless there is something within them that seems to need comment or require a brief explanation. You will notice the change in method now in dealing with the book of Joshua. This will be necessary if we expect to make any progress in our review of the Word of God, especially in putting these things on tape. In the beginning of the 14th chapter, there is enough there that we'll need to look at each portion of this chapter. Verse 1, these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes, the children of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. Strictly speaking, this is an official record, just like you would find in the recorder's office of any county. And this official record will be important to those whose names are mentioned, especially in the day when Elijah comes and restores all things, every Israelite to his tribe and every tribe to the land. These will be of the utmost importance. Verse 2, by lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe, nine and one half on the west side of Jordan. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side of Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes. There were two tribes of the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. This was as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Nice thing for Caleb to be able to say that where others digressed and became fearful, he said that he wholly followed the Lord his God. Now, a good thing for us to say, I have been a believer in and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ for 61 years. And in that 61 years, the truth of God has ever been my goal. And in searching out the truth, no matter what the difficulties might be or the problems might impose, I trust that I am able to say that in doing this, I have wholly followed the Lord my God. I have not sought for any personal advantage and any good that has come to me because of following this course has not been based upon compromise, but it has been based upon the fact that he who searches for truth is going to find truth. He gives it to the people. The people appreciate it. He makes no charge for it. And oftentimes they reward him accordingly. So he says, I wholly followed the Lord my God, and it would be good if this could be the word of every one of us. Now Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, that is, in perpetuity. It is the word olam, which means flowing and continuous, and this was to be their inheritance, ever flowing in perpetuity, because you wholly followed the Lord my God. This is what Moses swore on that day, that this land would be his, and where first he said, I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now Moses swore and said to him, this land will be yours, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he has said. This is Caleb speaking, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. I am this day, and now lo, I am this day 80, that's 85, that's 85, he was 85 years of age at that time. And he declares, yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and come in, anything at all that's laid upon me to do, I can do it. It could well have been that they spared him of some of the exceedingly physical work, but when it came to anything else, he was entirely able to do it. So Caleb makes request, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For thou heardest in that day how that the Anakims, and here is another reference to the Anakims, which we'll do well to note and remember were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunne, Hebron, for an inheritance. This becomes his portion. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunne, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He had committed himself to do it, he submitted, and he never failed in this submission. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and then the land had rest from war. Now, when we come to the 15th chapter, the first part becomes important because this tells us of the portion of Judah, which was always Israel's greatest tribe. See, in the southern part, Judah was always the dominant tribe. In the northern part, Ishmael was always the dominant tribe. And I mean Ephraim. And therefore, we can always speak after the division, after the conflict, when it got divided into new nations, one called Judah and the other called Ephraim. We can speak of these, and quite correctly, as Judah-Israel and Ephraim-Israel. Ephraim-Israel in the north and Judah Israel in the south. This then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin. Southward was the uttermost part of the south coast, coast meaning a border. And their south border was from the shore of the Salt Sea, from the bay that looketh southward. And it went out to the south side to Mela Akrabim, and passed along to Zin, and ascended upon the south side unto Kadesh Barnea, and passed along to Hezron, and went up to Adar, and fetched a compass to Karkal. From thence it passed toward Asmon, and went out unto the river of Egypt, and the going out of that coast were out of the sea. This shall be your south coast. Now the east border was the Salt Sea, even unto the end of Jordan, and their border in the north quarter was from the bay of the sea at the uttermost part of Jordan. And the border went up to Beth Hogla, and passed along by the north to Beth Araba, and the border went up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. And the border went up toward Debir from the valley of Achor, and so northward, looking toward Gilgal, which is before the going up to Adummim, which is on the south side of the river, and the border passed through the waters of Enshemus, and the goings there, and the goings out there were at Enrogel. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom. Important word to remember, the valley of the son of Hinnom, and of the south side of the Jebusite, the same as Jerusalem. This is another occurrence. The word Jerusalem was first mentioned in back in the, that was in the 11th chapter that we first had Jerusalem mentioned, and this is, I believe, now the third mention of Jerusalem. And the border went to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants northward. And the border was drawn from the top of the hill under the fountain of the water of Nephtoah, and went out to the cities of the Mount Ephraim, and the border was drawn to Baalah, which is Kirjath-Jearim. And the border compassed from Baalah westward unto Mount Seir, passed along unto the side of Mount Jearim, which is Chesalon on the north side, went down to Bathshemah, and passed out to Temah. Now, from this point on, it's just simply giving the boundary lines of that which was given to Judah and that which was given to others. We will not need to read the portion. We will take it up with the 18th verse, 17th verse. It says, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave it unto Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wouldest thou? Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. You've given me land, but I'll need springs of water, she said, if it's of any use. So he gave her the upper springs and the nether spring. So she had water above and water below. And this is the inheritance of the tribes of the children of Judah according to their families. Now the uttermost cities are given, and all of these cities are named, beginning with the 21st verse, and it continues, as you will see just by glancing at it, that this carries all the way through right up to the last verse, the 63rd verse. And as we come to 63rd verse, we read, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. That was the day in which this was spoken. Jerusalem will in time be purged of them, but at the present time when this was written, they were there. Now, in the short 16th chapter, we get the portion of Manasseh and Ephraim, that the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho, under the waters of Jericho, water of Jericho on the east, to wilderness that goeth up in Jericho throughout Mount Bethel. Goeth out from Bethel to Luz, passes along into the borders of Arki to Ataroth, and goeth down westward to the coast of Japhleti, under the coast of Beth-horon, the nether, and the Gezer. The goings out thereof are at the sea. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, took their inheritance. They were the children of Joseph. There was no tribe of Joseph. The names of Ephraim and Manasseh come in here. Levi is left out. That maintains it at the 12 tribes. The border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus. Even the border of their inheritance on the east side of Ataroth Adar unto Beth-horon the upper. And the border went out to the sea of Mish-Methah on the north side, and the border went about eastward unto Tanah-Shiloh, and passed it by it on the east side the Genoa. And it went down from Genoa to Ataroth and to Nereth, and came to Jero, and went out to Jordan. The border went out from Tapua westward, under the river Cana, and the goings out thereof were at the sea. This is the tribe of the children of Ephraim by their families. And the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritances of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt at Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day, and they serve under tribute. Now, this gives us the portion for Ephraim, and of course the portion for Manasseh was really right alongside of this. I have followed these things out on the maps that are provided, you can get the land and its divisions according to the tribe. Now, as we come into the 17th chapter, well, we get these list of the names once again as to how the land was divided up among the children of Manasseh. And as we come to the 14th verse, 13th verse, yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxen strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. This was a mistake, but that's what they did. So the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered unto them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spoke on the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and thou hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Now this brings us to the 18th chapter, Joshua, and this becomes of more importance, because here is where the tabernacle was first set up at Shiloh, that tabernacle which they have carried with them through their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, is now to have a permanent place at a city that is called Shiloh. Now we're told that the whole congregation, the children of Israel, assembled together at Shiloh. This was an assembly. And they came together at Shiloh. They set up the tabernacle, the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. To subdue was brought in subjection. Now, here we get the land divided, and we get the portion for seven tribes. We are told that there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers had given you? Give out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land, and describe it according to the inheritance of them. Then they shall come again to me, and they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall abide in their coast in the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coast on the north. Ye shall therefore describe the land into seven parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord your God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their portion, their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. So the men arose and went away. And Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, Go and walk through the land, and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. So the men went and passed through the land, described it by cities into seven parts in a book, and came again to Joshua to the host at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land and the children of Israel according to their divisions. And we read that the lot of the tribe, the children of Benjamin, came up according to their families, and the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. And their border on the north side from Jordan, and the border went up on the to the side of Jericho on the north side, went up through the mountains westward, going out thereof, were at the wilderness of Bethaven. And so this is what we have now through the rest of this chapter, just a description as to what part each tribe was to receive. And then we're given, beginning with the 21st verse, the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, and so on, all of these. And this is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. And that ends the 18th chapter. Now, as we come into the 19th chapter, we would get just the same thing. If you will look at it, we'll just read the first verse. The second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. And their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. And so it names the various places that they had and their villages. And verse 9 says, Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon, for the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. Then it tells about the third lot in the 10th verse. In the 17th verse, the fourth lot, how it came to the children of Issachar. And 24th verse gives the fifth lot, came out for the tribe of Asher. And then it is described, and so on. And the sixth lot of verse 32 came out to the children of Naphtali. And then we come to the final division, where we're told in the 47th, the coast of the children of Dan was too little for them. Therefore the children of Dan went up to fight against Lashem, and took it, smote it with the edge of the sword, and possessed it, and dwelt therein, and called Leshem Dan, after the name of Dan, their father. In a description of the entire length of Israel was from Dan to Beersheba. That took it all in. And so Dan was this uppermost portion. And then we're told in verse 48, this is inheritance of the tribe, the children of Dan, according to their families, these cities with their village. When they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. His was a personal, private inheritance. And this was according, verse 50, to the word of the Lord, which they gave him, the city which he asked, even Timnath-serah, in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. And then we get the inheritances which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes, the children of Israel, divided for inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so they made an end of dividing the country. Now verse 20 deals with the cities of refuge. The establishment of these was recorded, and we followed it out in detail in the book of Deuteronomy. But in order to have it clear before us, we'll just read the first part of this. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spoke unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entry of the gate of the city, pardon me, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of the city, they shall take him in the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell, among them. The avenger of blood pursue after him, and they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. No premeditation here, as you see. He shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, come into his own city, into his own house, unto the city whence he fled. So they appointed these cities of refuge. In the seventh verse you'll read that there was Kadesh in Galilee, and so on. And the cities are appointed so that anyone who happened to kill a person by accident, unawares, might flee thither and might not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. That would be the tribunal which would try him for judgment. So that brings us to the end of the 20th chapter. Now, as we come to the 21st chapter, we find that each of the Levites get a portion, and that their portion comes out of the land that was already given to others. Certain cities and certain portions belong to the Levites, and there they were to live. And if you will just glance through the 21st chapter, you will find out that it's filled with the names of the cities and the places and their boundaries, and so on. And when we come to verse 41, it just sums it up. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their suburbs. These cities were every one with their suburbs round about them. They were all these cities. Thus were all these cities. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. 44th verse of chapter 21, the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he swore unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. They failed not out of any good thing which the Lord has spoken in the house of Israel, all of it came to pass. Now we begin to get schisms, divisions. Here is one between the house of Reuben and the house of Gad. We will read this. It begins with verse 22. So Joshua called the Reubenites, and the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, "You've kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commands you. You've obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but you've kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you into your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto them, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. If they did this, they would be right in the sight of God, and this would be their righteousness." So in verse 6, Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan. And the other half, therefore, gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, "Return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver and with gold, and with brass and with iron, and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh return, and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is the land which is in the land of Canaan, to go into the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now, when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to, a great altar to look at. And the children of Israel heard say, "Behold, the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan, at the passage of the children of Israel. They have built there an altar." And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. This is going to be civil war. And the children of Israel sent and the children of Reuben, children of Gad, half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house of prince throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each one was a head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, "Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that ye have builded you an altar, that you might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day? Although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building you beside the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? And that man perished not alone in his iniquity. Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, "The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion or in transgression against the Lord." In other words, if this altar which we have built, if this be in rebellion, or if it be in transgression of the Lord, then save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or to offer peace offerings thereon. Let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, "In time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, What have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children come from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, Let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you, and your generation after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, and with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, You have no part in the Lord. And they just cut us off altogether. Therefore said we, It shall be, when they should so say to us, or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, Behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord, and turn this day from following the Lord, to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices, besides the altar of the Lord our God, that is before the tabernacle. That was to be the one altar. And when Phinehas the priest, and the princes, the congregation, the heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him, heard the words which the children of Israel, children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. They were satisfied with this explanation. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, to the children of Manasseh, This day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the princes, returned the children of Reuben, and from the children of Gad, out of the land of Gilead, unto the land of Canaan, the children of Israel, and brought them word again. Well, the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God, and did not intend to go up against them in battle, to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelled. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the place Ed, for it shall be a witness. That's the meaning of it, just a witness. For so it shall be a witness between us that Jehovah is God. And so at the first judgment, the tribes on the east side of Jordan, on the west side of Jordan, they made up their minds that there was a rebellion and they were turning against the Lord and they were going to fight against him. When they really got together, talked the thing over, heard the charge and found the explanation, it turned out to be that everything was satisfactory and that this was really something that glorified the Lord. They came to agreement. There was no conflict. There was no battle. And this is what we have. Now, the land is in the possession of Israel. Beginning with chapter 23, we're going to have the counsels of Joshua, and the charge of Joshua. For the people are there, and they now possess the land. Might be well to remember that Joshua was an Ephraimite. He was one of the 12 spies. First one in, he was a faithful servant and a companion of Moses. He was with Moses upon Sinai. And he seems to also have been entrusted with the spatial care of the tabernacle. Exodus 33:11 will show this. Now, after the death of Moses, Joshua took command of the Israelites. He had very early been designated to that office by God himself, as we saw in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, originally, his name was Hoshea, which meant salvation or welfare. Then it was changed to Jehoshua. Jehovah is salvation, and this has been contracted to Joshua. J-O-S-H-U-A, in some places, Jeshua, J-E-S-H-U-A. The Greek equivalent of Joshua is Iesus, I-E-S-O-U-S, and the English equivalent of that is Jesus. The name Jesus means Jehovah the Savior. Now, of course, the real truth of Joshua and the real truth of Judges has to be studied in connection with the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses. We're trying to link this up as best we can in our studies with the book of Deuteronomy. And so we'll continue our studies beginning with chapter 23 in the next lesson. And inasmuch as there are only 23 and 24 to go, we will finish the book of Joshua, the Lord willing, in our next study. It has been my pleasure to teach you. I thank you for the opportunity, for lending me your ears, and that your ears might be receptive to the Word of God. So till we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye.